Evolutionary.org presents Evolutionary Hardcore Podcast with your co-hosts, Steve from the American Underground and Mobster from the UK Iron Den. Get ready for the most hardcore and underground info in the industry. And here we go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6...
Evolutionary.org Hardcore 2.0 episode 182 is coming your way. We're talking about how steroids affect our immune system with Parapharma. This is a very important topic, okay? Because we see a lot of guys on the forum and gals who they'll, you know, run a steroid cycle and things are going really good, and then they'll get sick. And then they'll be sick for like a week, they'll be sick for 2 weeks. It's like, dude, you know, you keep getting sick. We got the same guys over and over, they keep getting sick over and over. And it's like, dude, what are you doing here? You know, obviously, if something is not working, we've got to change things up. So there's going to be some tips and tricks in this podcast that we've put together here that are going to help you stay healthy so you can run your cycle and have a successful cycle. Because if you get sick in the middle of your cycle, it's a waste of time and you're wasting your money. So we want to stay healthy. That's very, very important. We do this so we can be strong and we can be tough and we can be healthy. We don't do this so we can be sick in bed with a fever, okay? So we're going to go over that. But first, let me remind everybody, if you support the podcast, we know this is your favorite podcast out there. We hear from you guys and gals all the time. You got to support us, keep us going. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to keep this going. So that involves checking us out on all the platforms. We are also on Spotify and we're on Apple. For those of you who aren't using those platforms, hit up a review, hit up some comments, hit up the likes, subscribe, do all that good stuff. That helps the algorithms pick up our podcast and keep us going so we can keep this going. So let's start off, Mobster, with what is the immune system? And a lot of people don't even understand what the immune system is. So in all animals, we've got an immune system, whether it's your dog, whether it's your cat, whether it's us, whether it's the possum down the street from you. All of us have an immune system that provides a defense to fighting infectious organisms. We got organs, tissues, cells that work together to fight off the threats. And that includes bacteria, viruses, parasites, and cancer cells. When, let's say, the raccoon down the street gets hit by the car and it's sitting there dead, you'll notice it starts smelling after, you know, a day or two. Why is that? Well, it's because its immune system is dead, okay? And the bacteria starts going to town because there's nothing to fight off the infection. So same thing with anything that dies. And this is what happens when we die. Our immune system is gone and the bacteria can just take over everything and go to town on our body because there's nothing to stop it. So that's what prevents it from growing and taking control of our body is our immune system. Unfortunately, a lot of people out there have compromised immune systems. And in that situation, they have to do a lot of things to make sure that they stay healthy because it's very easy for them to catch something. And if they do catch something, they'll end up in the hospital. We hear stories all the time of people getting colds or something, and it turns from a cold to pneumonia or something even more serious, and they end up in the hospital because they have a bad immune system and the immune system doesn't have the ability to fight off that infection. And a lot of things that people are doing wrong are things that we're going to help you with on this podcast. And even if you're not a person who's frail like that, look, I've seen big time bodybuilders all tough. I'm an alpha, blah, blah, blah. And they end up, how many have we seen Mobster doing COVID? They end up in the hospital with a fucking oxygen mask on them because they're big, tough bodybuilders, but their immune systems are absolute shit, okay? Yeah. Because they don't take care of their immune system. They don't take care of their body on the inside. They look strong on the outside, but they don't take care of themselves on the inside. And they're actually more prone. We're going to talk about on the podcast, some of the steroids that you're using are actually weakening your immune system. So there's a lot of different things that can happen. And look, when it comes to cells, the main fighter is our white blood cells. WBC. If you go get blood work done, you'll see your white blood cell count. And if you see that number low in a normal situation, that would be an indicator that you've got some type of immune issue going on. So those, the white blood cells are our friends. They're the ones that battle off pathogens. Now, when it comes to your organs, spleen, the lymph nodes, if you touch like kind of like the bottom of your jaw, like where your neck is on the sides, you'll see lymph nodes. There's also lymph nodes on other parts of your body, kind of like where your hip is, between your privates and your hip. There's also lymph nodes there. If you've ever noticed them swelling up, that's an indicator of you have your body fighting off an infection. That's why that happens. Bone marrow also is a big help. And look, they work to store immune cells and filter out the bad guys in our body. So that makes a big difference. We also have our skin that provides a barrier to block threats, and the body has adaptive immunity, which learns from the past to build up antibodies to fight future threats that are similar in nature. So that means when you get, let's say, there's three flu strains this season, and you get the flu. Now, that strain, you build up the antibodies to fight off that strain. So you won't get that. You can still get the strain again, but you won't have that response where you feel sick and you feel feverish. Remember, it's your body that's sending out that response of getting a fever or you feeling like shit or anything like that. It's your body killing your appetite, all that stuff, because it's trying to heal itself. It's trying to fight off that virus. So it's trying to do what it can do to expel that virus. So it's your body. So you're not going to have that same response in a lot of situations because your body now has those antibodies to fight off that virus more effectively without sending your body temperature to 100, 200, 300, 104 degrees. So that's what happens. But if you get the different strain of the flu, you'll have another problem. So that's why it's important, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit, when even if you get the flu, like it's December, oh, I already got the flu, I don't have to worry about the flu again. No. You can still get, because there's different strains of the flu that your body does not know about, and that's going to come to a surprise. So we're going to talk about that in a second. So the problem is that the viruses on a year-to-year basis, like with the flu, for example, will mutate and it will evolve into different ones. And that's the way it outsmarts our body. So if you got the flu last year, it's even if you think, oh my God, I got the flu last year, I'm not gonna get it again a second time. No, it's not like the chicken pox where you just get it once in your life. You can get the flu. That they're going to get different strains of flu on a year-to-year basis because they mutate and they change on a seasonal basis. They're always going to stay a step ahead of us. No matter how much we try to outsmart them, they're always going to stay a step ahead of us. That's why every year they make new flu vaccines, because they're trying to stay ahead of the flu on a year-to-year basis. That's what they're trying to do. So that sums up, look, what our immune system is and how it works. A lot of misinformation and bad information out there. People think, oh my God, I have a fever, I have the flu. It's not that the flu is giving you the fever, it's that your immune system is
Yes.
responding to the flu
Yes.
to try to get
Yes.
rid of the flu and giving you those sweats. It's exactly trying to make you sweat out that virus. And that helps expel the virus out of your body. Hence, it's going to raise the temperature because it's trying to kill the
Yeah.
virus. The virus doesn't like a high temperature in the body. So a lot of times what people do is they fight their own immune system by taking an aspirin and dropping their fever back down. Oh, I feel better. My
Yeah.
fever's back down. Well, you're actually prolonging the situation and making it harder on your immune system. But of course, we don't want you to have a high fever, because then you can get brain damage. So there has to be a give and take there. You have to go through a little bit of pain to fight off that virus, but you don't want to get to the point where you have a 105 degree fever and now you're frying your brain. Go ahead, mobster.
One of the issues in modern times, Steve, is the overuse of antibiotics, because none of us like to feel ill. And ironically, not allowing the body to naturally defend against antibodies, naturally defend against bacteria. Arguably, the very thing that we do in the gym is stress our bodies so that they adapt. And that's the reason why we grow. So if we want to get bigger muscles, we have to stress our bodies. But as we're going to discuss later on, part of the reasons why there's issues with immune suppression, not just the world, is literally the fact that we can go to the gym and train hard. And of course, on steroids, we train harder. There's also an element, and I think men probably statistically are more guilty of this. We imagine, especially when we're younger, Steve, that we're somehow fucking invincible. And then when the man flu comes along, and we laid up on the sofas because we've never felt this bad. We say it's the worst thing ever. You women have no idea, et cetera, et cetera. And the reality is, we've been man and superman in the gym. We've been outperforming the average man in the street with the weights. We're more muscular, we're leaner, we're faster, we're this, we're that, we're the other, all the things, positive aspects of using steroids. And then we get laid up by something we can't even see. That's on, it would be, it's so small, you couldn't count the number of them on the head of a pin. And this fucking tiny little virus, this tiny little bacteria has laid us up. There's arguments to be made, as we're going to discuss. As I say, I think something's just changing the subject slightly. It's something that Steve and I have touched upon in many, many, many shows. And we would talk about nature. Nature will provide if we look after ourselves, but equally, nature is red in tooth and claw. So we will eat fruits and fresh vegetables. We try to eat organic, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, Steve. But out in nature, you know, is that fruit being urinated on by a dog? Is it covered in a virus? We don't know. And so there are always things out there. And I would actually argue, Steve, there needs to be things out there. There's always things out there that could fuck you up. There's always things out there that could give you a rash or an upset stomach. Equally, your body gets better, gets stronger, becomes more resilient by being shown those things. And the last final thought on this particular subject, Steve, is actually an argument to be made to use this particular phrase, to let your children get dirty, to let your children go out. And I'm talking, when I say children, I mean ourselves as well. We sometimes, and again, it's the mums and the dads that are a little bit being too cautious. We when the COVID thing came out, one of the silly things that was, I say silly, but kind of made sense. We'd seen the adverts for antibacterial type products prior to COVID, and we were literally wiping, I think I even did it, got up with Steve, wiping down door handles, wiping down handrails and stair risers, et cetera, in the house. Anything that our hands touched, trying to kill the virus. And in reality, we should allow a little bit of a little bit of bacteria, a small amount of less harmful viruses in our lives to allow our immune system to be able to beat these things. And even, and we won't really go into this too much, but even the daily stresses of life, you can literally measure, and Steve talked about the white blood cells earlier on. There are other measures in the blood, but that's the most obvious, as Steve said. There are literally measures of stress in the body that can be measured on the daily stress stuff, the anxiety over a phone bill or a mortgage, getting your kids into college, all the stuff, the modern stuff, watching the news, and the effects of stress on your body. And even that kind of tiny, you shouldn't think it'd make much of a difference, stress will impact your ability to recover from certain things. You would find fighting a virus, Steve, that much harder if you were stressed, if you were tired, if you're overworked. And we, of course, on this show, our listeners especially, we go to the gym, we run, we swim, we do yoga, we exercise, we do all these things, and we don't see it as a form of stress. And we don't see necessarily steroids, good and bad, as we will get into, boosting our immune system in certain particular ways, which we'll touch upon, but also excessive steroids, steroids that are quite more aggressive, sometimes also having an immune suppressing aspect as well. So we'll touch upon both the good, the bad, the boosting, the not boosting, and so on and so forth. But it gives you a good understanding, guys. And so understanding your immune system is going to be beneficial for your health, and understanding how training, changing your diet, excessive use of steroids, etc., can obviously not just the obvious stuff, which we touched upon on other shows in terms of side effects, but can also sometimes boost, but sometimes suppress the immune system. But yes, Steve.
Yeah, so let's get into easy ways to boost your immune system. So first topic, and Mobster kind of talked about COVID, and this was a big thing during COVID is vaccines. And listen, a lot of you out there have been red-pilled and brainwashed on this subject. So let me fix this for you. Okay, listen to Steve on this so you understand what a vaccine does. Because we have a lot of dumbasses that came on the forum during COVID and started saying some stupid shit. And you just want to
social media was full of it, mate. People that
yes.
were experts that had failed school hadn't even got the high school certificate, and they were telling us
Yeah.
then all about this. Yeah, go
So let
on.
me explain what a vaccine does. Okay. A vaccine is not like wearing a condom when you're having sex with a prostitute so you don't get HIV or some STD. Okay. That's not what a vaccine does. The vaccine is a blueprint for your immune system to know what to expect. It's the same thing as walking down the street and someone coming up to you and smacking you on the back of the head and knocking you out. You don't know what's coming. You can't defend yourself. The vaccine gives you that. Those eyes on the back of your head, so you can see, your body can see that vaccine and it can know, hey, this vaccine's coming. I need to watch out for it and I know what to look for so that when it does hit, you get a less of a stress on your body and a less of immune response to your body so your body can more easily kill that vaccine. So even if you have a great immune system, it's still a good idea to get some of these vaccines on a seasonal basis to give your body that extra weapon, and that will boost your immune system. And the nice thing about these vaccines is they are natural. Okay, we've been giving our bodies vaccines for hundreds of years. During the Revolutionary War, they were even giving the troops vaccines because a lot of the troops were dying of all kinds of diseases and viruses on the, when they were in big quarters, they had to sleep together, they had to eat together, they had to do all the stuff.
Yeah.
And in World War I, same thing. Your people,
Yes.
mobster, in the
Let me
trenches.
tell you
Yeah.
that one, Steve. Florence Nightingale, the story behind Florence Nightingale was that she found that more, if you didn't get blown up or shot to death, as many patients died of infection in the wards because it was just a shithole, as were dying from the actual wounds themselves. And when she started the whole separating the patients, clean, keeping things clean, fresh dresses, etc., more people survived. It was literally just unhygienic, poor medical. They'd operate on you, they do what they can, they take your leg off, they sew the wound up, and then and piss poor hygiene. And the moment she started to fix the hygiene, clean dressings, not having the men back in a ward with its muddy floors. Making sure that the staff were clean, washing. Just, I think the classic one, Steve, was just washing their fucking hands. You can't imagine not washing your hands if you're in a medical situation, but they didn't think it made a difference. And now, of course, they understand.
Yeah, and back in the day, they didn't really understand that there were microscopic bacteria and viruses that were ready to kill you. And look, we talk about the big tough bodybuilder. A little fucking microscopic virus is capable of killing not just one bodybuilder, hundreds, thousands, millions. And one of these days, we're gonna have a virus that hits the planet and it's gonna wipe. It's happened so many times throughout history. It's nature's way of population control. We see this with animals on farms. There's the pig flu. There's all kinds of the
Steve,
swine flu.
history lesson again. The plague. One third of Europe wiped out by the plague.
Yep.
In America, that would be 150 million people wiped out.
And the thing is, the people that survived, why did they survive the plague? Is because they had strong immune systems and they were doing a lot of things that we're going to talk about this. So anyway, on vaccines, this is what I want you to do. Instead of listening to Joe Rogaine and these other idiots on social media, what you want to do is check out your local CDC, okay, and see what they recommend you take. And they'll know what's in the area, what's the seasonal outlook. Last year, I was stupid. I didn't get my flu vaccine, okay? I ended up getting the flu. I was down for about 2 or 3 days. I was still able to work. I was still able to function, but it sucked, okay? I had a fever. I felt chills. It was just a horror. I had a horrible night, okay? And I can't afford to have horrible nights.
What about
So,
Steve? You remember me on the forums? Pneumonia 2 years
yeah.
ago. I nearly fainted coming out the doctor's, man. It
But
was
it's
crazy.
easy. So what I did after that, I went and I actually went to CDC website and it said, we recommend this year you get the flu vaccine. So if I had looked at that week prior, that would have saved my ass from going through wasting 3 days, you know? So what I did from there, I went and got the flu. I found out it was free from my local drugstore. I went and got the flu vaccine. That prevented me from getting the two other strains of flu that were also going around. I never got sick the rest of the year. I haven't been sick since. So it's very important on a year seasonal basis, no matter where you live, Southern Hemisphere, Northern Hemisphere, whatever the season is. And in America, it's usually around the time The kids go back to school during, after the Christmas break, because during Christmas they're spending time with their family, they're swapping viruses, and then they go back to school, and then boom, it spreads from there. And then when they go home, they give it to their parents give it to people, and it goes on. So it's good. It's very important to check with your CDC and see which vaccines you need that season, okay? So very, very important to do that. That gives your body the blueprint. The next one is supplements. So let me go over a few supplements that are really good. Everyone knows vitamin C and vitamin D are great for the immune system because they boost antioxidants and they boost cell function. So where do we get the vitamin C? A good quality supplement will have vitamin C. You can come on the forum and find out where to get a good quality supplement. But also with vitamin C, fruit, the organic skin of fruit has a lot of vitamin C, not orange juice. A lot of people think, oh, I drink a cup of orange juice every day, Steve. I'm getting my vitamin C. That's a bad way to get vitamin C because that juice is processed. Usually it's going to be pasteurized in almost all situations, unless you're going like to a health food store. But you want to get it from the raw organic fruit itself, not from the juice. The juice is a dumped down version of that fruit. And then vitamin D, the sun. When I was in Jamaica one time, I wasn't feeling well. I was dealing with a fever, whatever. And this Jamaican guy on the beach, he's like, "Get some sun. It's good for the bones." So he was right. The sun will provide you with good immune system as well, and that's really good. Other things like zinc help cell production and function. Astragalus and beta-glucan were a couple supplements that I read some studies on, and they can help boost your immune system as well. So, Mobster, any supplements that you can think of that I didn't mention?
I think a good all ratio type thing there, Steve, because if we sometimes what happens when we look at these things, we look at things in isolation. So I've talked about my daily joint products, fish oil or krill oil, like Steve says, for eye health and whatever else. What are you talking about constantly? The older you get, the more kind of aware you get of these frailments, so the more care hopefully you take of your body. And when you're looking at supplements, Steve, what we sometimes do in bodybuilding specifically, because that's the majority of our listeners, is we can be a little bit restrictive on our diets. So as Steve's already said, with the fresh fruit, the fresh vegetables, and we talked about multiple times organic sourced meat and so on and so forth, grass raised, not cage raised or seed raised. And why do we say these things? Because sometimes we restrict our diets for bodybuilding purposes, and also we don't necessarily have the best sources of food. And so we are compensating with a good vitamin, with a good mineral, with what we talked about on another show, Steve, when we talked about macronutrients and also micronutrients. So restricting our diet sometimes means restricting the intake of nutrients. So a good full-blown multivitamin. I don't think you need to get age-specific post-60 or post-menopausal. A good solid product. There will be, like Steve says, recommendations you can have. And again, it's that you're, it's vitamins for what they are, Steve, are cheap as fuck, cents, pennies per day. And so something that's costing you pennies per day for me is a perfect investment. And again, it's allowing you to deal with the stresses that we put upon ourselves as well.
Let's move on. We have a lot to get to, and sleep is another thing. I know you want to talk about sleep, but why does sleep help your immune system? Because it produces, when you sleep, you produce the T cells, the cytokines, and that helps fight infection. If you ever notice that at night your body temperature fluctuates, you might wake up at night, feeling a little sweaty or something. It's actually your immune system at work right there. It's actually raising the temperature while you sleep so that it can get rid of this bacteria that it finds or this virus that it finds. And you may not even know that you have anything, but that's your immune system at work. So that's a good thing. Now, it's a good thing that your body does that. If you've got a crushed immune system, your immune system will not react to that virus and it will actually let it build and fester in the body. And it'll work against you. So we want to sleep, and we want our body's immune system to do work its magic while we're sleeping.
Something
Mobster?
else that's just occurred to me, Steve, is gut health. And this is super important. We'll probably do a show on this in the future, but it's the all you're taking food via the mouth, you're breathing in by the lungs, bacteria and viruses all the time. So good gut health. If your gut health isn't as good as it should be, it's almost one of those first lines of defense for your body. And again, we're starting to see more and more issues with it. Arguably, and I touched upon it earlier, the overuse of antibiotics will, as will some anti-inflammatories, affect your gut health. And these things, again, are actually lowering your ability to
Yeah.
respond to outside attacks. So
And
good gut health is.
bodybuilders have horrible gut health, and it has to do with the overeating. You see these bodybuilders with the pregnant gut, the Palumboism gut, and that's because of the overeating mostly, and the abuse of HGH and steroids, which makes it even worse, but it's mostly because of the over done stress. So it's really about, like, when it comes to nutrition and gut health, it's about not overeating, but it's also about what not to eat. Because if you eat something that stresses your gut out, it's going to stress your immune system and weaken your immune system. So you want to avoid the bad foods, avoid the junk foods, avoid the restaurant foods, the fast food, the oily foods, all that junk, the sugars. If you avoid that crap, you will do your immune system the biggest help of all. Next one is avoiding crowds or dirty places. And look, I did a membership at a gym maybe a year ago, and very, very disappointed, very disappointed. They never wiped down the machines. There was no one walking around wiping down the machines. There was no sanitizing wipes to spray down the machines. So if you wanted to wash your hands, you would have to bring your own. I'd have to bring my own hand wash. That's a disgusting gym. That's a dirty gym. And what ends up happening is you touch the bar after someone else
Yeah.
touched the bar after someone else touched the bar. He just wiped his ass. He just put his hand in his mouth. He just touched his ears, gets on the bar. Then you touch the bar and you touch your ear. Guess what? You're going to get an ear infection.
Steve, as
So.
you know, I train in a spit and sawdust gym, what we would call old school gym, and we've had the sanitizing stuff since COVID started, and it's something that's become a habit ever since. I literally leg curls yesterday. I'm laying on the pad. My beard, my mouth is at the top of the pad while I'm holding the handle, so I'm going to do leg curls. And the very first thing I did when I finished leg curl training was get off there and wipe the goddamn bench down with a sanitizing spray and a cloth. So something we've been spit and sawdust from old school. We're probably cleaner than a high train gym that has no stuff. We've still got the hand gel application things up on the wall and all of that the stuff in the little toilet there's improved vastly. So yeah, old
I
school
don't.
gym, but we've got the cleanliness to the tops now, man.
So one of the things I do is I avoid the gym locker room. I avoid going to the bathroom in public places as much as possible. I take a little bottle with me in my car. If I have to pee, I just piss in my car in the bottle and wipe, and that's it. I don't use public bathrooms, and it's disgusting. And sometimes I'm forced to. If I go to a football game or something, if I go to a sporting event, sometimes I have to use. I'm going to be there for 4 hours. So obviously I have to take a leak, and I'll go in there and I'll make sure I wear gloves. I'll make sure that I'm not touching anything. You can imagine the hundreds of disgusting people who have already touched it. And if you've ever been to some of you women listening don't understand how dirty a bathroom, a public bathroom is for men. It's absolutely disgusting.
The worst I've ever used, such that I barely used, was on a train, Steve, when the water's been right up to the top by the seat, and you're literally standing in God knows what on the floor, and that's on public transport. That's just unbelievable. So you want to go before you go, because you really don't want to be using that stuff on the train or whatever else, unless you absolutely have to. It has got better in recent years, but it's been absolutely disgusting in the past.
So one of the things too that I've been doing for years, this was well before COVID, was wearing a mask on a plane. And the reason you want to wear a good quality mask on a plane is so you don't breathe in a pathogen. So, but you want to make sure it's a good quality mask, not that cheap, the cheap mask from Walmart. And what you want, the reason you want to do that is when you're on a plane and someone's coughing behind you or in front of you, it doesn't get filtered. There's no filtration system on the plane. It cycles. It cycles. So you're breathing in dirty air from other people. So there's a good chance if someone is sick close by or even on the other side of the plane, it's going to travel to you. Plus, I mean, that virus is going through the air and it wants you really, really bad. So one of the lessons I learned, this was like 20 years ago, there was someone behind me. I was going on vacation to another country. There were some people behind me for about 2 hours coughing, like four or five of them in a row, a family. They should have never even been allowed on the plane to begin with, but they were. And they were coughing and coughing and coughing. So of course, I get to my vacation. The second day I'm there, boom, now I get sick. Coughing and coughing, the same fucking thing they had. So I learned my lesson after that. Wear a mask when you're on a plane. That is the smartest thing you can fucking do to protect yourself. And if you're in a public place and you don't want to get sick, or you got to be up, talking to people, social distancing, keep a distance. I don't like people up on me either way. All right. I don't like fucking people. When you come and talk to me, don't fucking stick your head right in my face. I don't want to smell your breath. So don't fucking come up. That's fucking disgusting as it is. I don't want to smell your breath at all. So keep your distance from other people, and that will lessen your chance of catching an unnecessary thing from them. The last thing I want to talk about is fasting. And fasting is something that a lot of people don't do, and it's a shame that you're not doing it, because fasting is a huge weapon for boosting your immune system. So it not only reduces inflammation in the body, but also promotes new immune cells and recycles old and damaged cells. So when you do a fast, let's say you do a 4 or 5 day fast and you go get blood work done, you know what's going to happen, mobster, to your white blood cells? What do you think is going to happen? Are they going to go up or go down? What do you think?
Oh, it's going to be go up. You know it. It's what you
No,
said.
it's not. It's not going to go up.
Sorry.
It's actually, it's going to go down. It's going to go down. And a lot of people
Yeah,
don't
go on.
understand that. If you ask, that's a great way to make money off a bet. It's going to go down. So when I did my fast, when I did one of my programs, I went and got blood work done, and my white blood cells crashed. And I was like, what's going on here? Why is it crashing? It doesn't make any sense. It makes perfect sense, because the reason it does that is when you're fasting, your body is going through autophagy. So it's getting rid of the old cells. And then when you come off your fast, it's going to rebuild those white blood cells. So if you 2 days after I broke my fast, I went and gotten blood work, and guess what happened to my white blood cells, mobster? They're right back to normal. But the difference is the new white blood cells that my body produced were new troops. It's like having an army of 80-year-olds, getting rid of them, and getting an army of 20-year-olds. And that's what was happening in my body. So fasting is a weapon when it comes to boosting your immune system for that reason. And if you've never fasted more than 20 or 24 hours, you're not getting those new troops in your body. So I strongly recommend that you do a nice long 24, 36, 48-hour fast at least once a month, and that rebuilds those white blood cells so you get fresh troops. If you're 50 years old and you've never fasted before, guess what? You've got 50-year-old white blood cells in your body that have not really recycled. So if you want to recycle them in a few days, you can do that fasting, the prolonged fasting. It will absolutely work. So that's a great, great strategy. And we know that autophagy, there's plenty of studies, you guys. I looked up some studies over the years studying fasting. Plenty of studies. There's guys who's won Nobel Prizes about this shit that will show that autophagy is a weapon to boost your immune system. More than anything we've talked about, fasting will boost your immune system more than anything we've talked about.
Just to finish, Steve, and this depends on the situation that our listeners find themselves in. I, like Steve, I probably spend a great vast majority of my day on my own. When I go to the shops, I'm with people. When I'm in the gym, I'm with people. But the rest of the day, it's me and the cats in this house, or I'm out and about. I'm not stuck in an office. I'm not stuck in a factory. I'm not stuck in a classroom. And I would argue, Steve, as you said earlier on with the airplane analogy, if the air conditioning system, and I'm thinking of Legionnaires' disease, if the air conditioning fit conditioning in your building isn't clean, that's an issue. Literally being in an office and surrounded by people, if someone's got a virus, other people are going to get the virus. Same in the classroom. And like I just said, when I'm in the house, it's just me. When I go outside, I'm in the fresh air. And fresh air will recirculate the air, positive ions, and way the sunshine will kill the bacteria. I boost them on vitamin D, like Steve said. But if I was in an office, it'd be a problem. If I was in a classmate problem, if any of those crowd situations, I don't do big soccer matches or big football matches in America. So I'm not going to places where there are thousands. A pop concert would be another example, Steve. Great, fantastic, but you're surrounded by 10,000 people. And what, just to finish on that point, Steve, if you've ever been to a stadium toilet, I don't even want to think, man. Football game in America, soccer game here, half time. Those places are you really, you've had a beer, you're enjoying the match, you're enjoying the game, but my God, especially the men's toilets, it is 500 people going for a piss. You can't get to the taps and the sinks to clean your hands. Motorway pull-ins, Steve, with the motorway cafes, whatever you call them in America. Same thing again, where people are just coming out of their cars and they need to go for a pee. And there's like men queuing up to go in the toilet. It's just had a coach come in and stuff like that. People, it is what it is, but you have to be aware of these situations and have an understanding of them. I think we move on a little bit here, Steve, in terms of good steroids and bad steroids. And I'll introduce this a little bit. As I said to Steve in a pre-show, let me just clear up this one particular point, Steve. Understand, not so much the steroids themselves, but because we are going to get into that, and I will talk about a study as well. The nature of what we do when we take steroids, and this is sometimes what goes missing. And I suspect, as Steve said, I remember the particular thread that Steve referred to at the beginning of the show. There was one person every month they're getting some sort of viral thing or virus-like symptoms every single month. So here's what you might be doing. I trained my fucking ass off yesterday, Steve. And I was, to use the British phrase, knackered. I came home, I had something to eat, I went out and got my steps, and when I come back, I was that knackered, Steve, I had a 20-minute nap because it was a brutal, hard leg training session. I'd also paused to help some shit in the gym, which made it harder to get back into the sets, but I still got my work done. So here's the thing. When you are on steroids, a lot of you will train that much harder. You will increase the volume, you'll add exercises, you will certainly, as I would hope, increase the intensity. What you might be doing, and I've touched upon this for myself, is deliberately forcing the body even more than you normally would to adapt to the stimulus of training. Now remember, training in of itself is stress. What you might be doing without realizing, plus also at the same time, Steve, restricting your diet, perhaps not doing the amount of vegetables that you should, only having rice and pasta as your carb source, and so on and so forth. So you're not getting in the full range or full spectrum of vitamins. You're deliberately training harder. And this is even on the good steroids. And you are deliberately trying to stress your body even more because you can, because you're using anabolic steroids without necessarily arguably understanding that you are, if you wasn't on steroids, you would be overtrained and you would have immune system suppression like symptoms. You would have rashes. You would have little marks on your face where blemishes start to come up, which is, acne would start to become more prevalent. You're sweating more. You're picking up more of the bacteria in the gym that Steve referred to just because you're training your ass off that much more. And without the steroids and all good diets and all good vitamins, your body would be stressed like a motherfucker. Now, it's a stress that forces the adaption, the body, the muscles to get bigger, stronger, the muscle fibers to thicken, and so on and so forth. But equally, if you go to the oomph degree, and a lot of people, Steve, are guilty of, especially younger listeners, first, second, third time you've ever used steroids, you've put $500 or $1,000 down for everything, including the ancillaries, and you deliberately decide today everything's going to be hardcore. I'm going to train my ass off, it's going to be brutal. I'm going to train like I've never trained before. I'm going to be super clean on my diet. And lo and behold, that works in terms of your muscle building, but equally, you must understand the extra stress is also going to impinge not just on your body's physical ability to recover muscularly, but also arguably sometimes your immune system. Steve, just as an example, and I'll bring you in there before we go further. You used to do triathlons, which is incredibly stressful. And until you adapt to running triathlons, it's got to be brutally hard on the body for you to recover. And the likelihood, if you hadn't had a good diet, if you wasn't fasting, or if you catching a and not being able to deal with viruses, would have been that much higher until your body adapted. So talk a little bit about the physical stress of training before we talk about good and bad steroid effects.
Yeah, and we'll get start with the bad, since you kind of switched it around. We'll talk about the good after. But look, at the end of the day, when you're stressing your body out and you're on steroids, you're just going to suppress your immune system more and more, and you're going to want to get more sleep, whether it be 15 extra minutes, 30 extra minutes, hour, 2 hours. You want more sleep, because if you don't get that extra sleep, putting your body through that trauma, then it's just going to your immune system is not going to have a chance. Like we talked about earlier, there's things that need to happen while you sleep for your immune system to get boosted. Another problem too using anabolic steroids is inflammation, and literally the name anabolic steroids, Okay, it's the opposite of catabolic steroids. You would take a catabolic steroid like prednisone, or you would inject cortisone. These are anti-inflammatory, but anabolic steroids are inflammatory. Most of them are inflammatory, some of them aren't. But when you cause inflammation in your body, you're suppressing your immune system. So let's talk about the worst offender. And this is one I noticed. I started using Trenbolone about 13, maybe 14 years ago. And I noticed when I was on Tren, it was good. It was a good steroid. It gave me a lot of personal records, but it also made me sick. Okay. I would get sick on Trenbolone. Almost every time I'd run Trenbolone, I'd have like some type of sickness hit me. Why is that? And I started researching this. And one of the things I came up with, when you do choose to use parapharma Trenbolone, and I'm not saying don't use parapharma Trenbolone, I'm not saying don't use Tren, but be aware that you're going to be more likely to get sick on Trenbolone. So be extra careful with all the stuff we talked about earlier. Make sure you're taking your supplements. Make sure you're avoiding people. Make sure you're taking your vaccines. Make sure you're doing all this stuff to make sure you're getting your sleep. Because what happens is when you take Trenbolone, and I researched this, is because it boosts something called PGF2A in the body. And it does this by activating something called NF-KB pathway and signaling pathways like MAP, kinases, CREB, and more to promote inflammation. So the more inflammation you get in your body, the more it's going to damage your healthy tissues, the more it's going to disrupt immune cell function, and the more it's going to suppress your immune system. So this makes using Tren a very bad idea if you're prone to getting sick a lot. So not a good idea. If you have any type of immune system, if you're the type of person that gets sick all the time, stay away from Tren. But if you do want to go on Tren, go ahead and use it. Just use it smart and be aware of the risks, and maybe don't use it for a long period of time. Monster?
Yeah, as Steve knows, and just mentioned talking about research there, Steve, I refer you now briefly to a PubMed article entitled "Anabolic Steroid Effects on Immune Function: Differences Between Analogs," and it actually talks about both the positive and the negative. And I'll start by prefacing that, as I said to Steve in a pre-show, when you're ill in hospital, sometimes anabolic steroids are given to you to help boost your body's ability to deal with the stress of the ailment and enable you to recover quicker. So keep that in mind, the positive and the negative. Specific look here, they were looking to see the immune function, good and bad, suppression and an uptick in your body's ability. And they gave a bunch of steroids to rats. And the specific steroids were the following. Group one, testosterone propionate. Group two, testolactone. Group three, oxandrolone, i.e., Anavar. Group four, stanozol. And it says group five, but it's not actually a fifth steroid. I don't know why they say that. Oh, sorry, testosterone was group one, and the last one was stanozol. It goes on to say they gave the rats a daily dose just beneath the skin, so sub-Q, Steve, dissolved in oil, and it was equivalent to 1.1 milligrams a kilogram. So, for example, using the oxandrolone, that would be 110 milligrams, Steve, for a 100 kilogram or 220 pound bodybuilder. Just as an example, everything was dosed the same. Immune alterations were assessed by skin tests. In other words, they tried to give the rats a rash, and they wanted to see if there was immune suppression and/or immune boosting. All groups had immune suppression initially. However, by day 10, groups 3, 4, and 5, that includes the oxandrolone, Steve, showed immunostimulation. Key here, Steve, as I said to you in the pre-show, is that these rats weren't training. They weren't otherwise stressed. So immune suppression with no training and immune boosting in the latter part, groups 3, 4, and 5, but again, without the additional stress of working out, etc. And it goes on to say, just to finish, using oxandrolone as the model stimulant, serum testosterone levels were significantly suppressed. In other words, they wasn't reducing their own testosterone, while castration abolished the stimulatory effect. In other words, you didn't get the uptick. And it was interesting here, Steve, that the final comment was, and I'll read this and then explain what it means. It appears that these changes were associated with altered gonadal testosterone release, basically meaning, and this was the good and the bad, specifically in regards to removing or castration of the testicles, Steve. The naturally produced testosterone was more beneficial to their health, if not their muscular size, than artificially induced testosterone. So it's interesting, but it was like I said at the beginning, it's that combination of initial suppression and then in groups 3, 4, and 5, a immunostimulation, in other words, an uptick of the body's ability to respond. But again, with no other additional stress. There are other articles that pretty much all said the same thing, Steve, and every single one, the abstract refers to the way that the study was put together, but the suggestion was, or the inference was, excessive use, and we're only talking about 110 milligrams a day here of Anavar. That's a little bit higher than we'd normally run it. There's no high dosage testosterone here, 500 milligrams and so on and so forth, 3 or 4 times the dose that we're looking at here. We're not talking about grams and grams of testosterone. We're not talking about animals that are super stressed. But in pretty much all the other examples, and I had 3 good references, including this one, there was some suppression. And again, it's, I think one particular study, Steve, I think is this one. Let me look. And it referred to actually bodybuilders specifically. They had 10 competing bodybuilders of a total of 13. So 10 were going on stage. I believe there was also a group that was including people that didn't train. And again, I think Steve's also referred to some of the other measures in the blood for the NK activity, SA cell, B cell, mitogen, etc. And I'll just read the last few lines here, Steve. Four of the 13 steroid users and 3 of the 8 non-steroid using bodybuilders had detectable anti-nuclear antibodies. These studies indicate that anabolic androgenic steroid use, as practiced by contemporary athletes like our listeners, is a potent modulator of immune responsiveness. And number two, also antibodies are prevalent in strength trained men, even in the absence of anabolic steroid use. So why is the body producing these? Because it's doing it in accordance with the stress, whether you take steroids or not. So that's that combination of stressing from steroid use and stressing from working your goddamn ass off in the gym. Combined the two, you're going to get the same effects again. You have to understand that stressing the body, food-wise, lack of sleep, killing it in the gym, and or steroids, and not recovering properly, not getting rest, not fasting, like Steve said, not enabling your system to recover will cause stress. So it's making sure that you have that balance of killing it in the gym, recovering outside the gym,
So
killing it in the gym, eat well, and so on.
you can see it's not a black and white thing. It's going to be dependent on how much you use, how long you use them, your own body, what you're doing, also aside from the steroids. But if you're using the wrong steroid, like Tren, it will definitely suppress your immune system. Let's talk about a couple that will actually boost your immune system. And we know it's going to boost your immune system. One of the things I researched about 15 years ago, I wrote a couple articles about this, and a lot of people have kind of stolen my article, and they've been saying the same thing since, which is fine. I want to spread knowledge. I'm not trying to patent knowledge here. But one of the things is about primobolan. And Parapharma sells a very high quality primobolan. So primobolan in Europe, some European doctors got together and they tried to get primobolan approved to be used for their AIDS patients because primobolan did a really good job. It's got low side effects. It did a really good job of preventing muscle wasting. But also, one of the things that they researched was it helped some of their patients that were using it, kind of like under the table, from getting it from the underground labs and the black market. But they did have an immune system improvement. So one of the things I noticed from using primobolan is when I use primobolan, I would not get sick on primobolan. So it's not your imagination, those of you out there who have used Tren and have used primobolan, and you're like, oh, I use Tren and I get sick while on Tren. Well, it's because it's not good for your immune system. But when I use primobolan, I didn't get sick. It's not your imagination because we know primo is good for immune system. Doctors wouldn't be rattling the cages trying to get this stuff, off the ground to use on a patient. Now, another good option, it's not an anabolic steroid, but it's a peptide, and that's growth hormone, human growth hormone. And Parapharma sells something called Paratropin. And their HGH is also good for immune system, again, because AIDS patients throughout the 80s and 90s especially were given growth hormone for a reason. Because it's similar to Primo, it's got low side effects when used properly, and it prevents muscle wasting and also boosts the immune system. When you have AIDS, that is an immune system deficiency when you have AIDS, like I talked about earlier, where you've got AIDS, your body doesn't have the ability to fight off these viruses and bacteria. So if you get a severe infection and you have AIDS, unfortunately, what's going to happen is you're just going to wither away and die. And that's really, and it could happen to any
Yes. Yep.
type of thing. So growth
It
hormone.
isn't AIDS Steve autoimmune deficiency? It's literally
Exactly, yeah.
zero immune
Yeah.
response.
And it can
You
be caused
are under
by.
attack constantly and you can't recover.
Yeah, and the thing is though, proper dosing. Okay, so that means with ACH, 2 IUs or less. Now, if you're using 10 IUs or 15 IUs or 20 IUs, it's gonna have the opposite effect. So it's not gonna have that beneficial immune system effect. So you've got to run these compounds at proper dosing. Now with Primo, I've run it up to 500 milligrams, I think. It's worked really well. So anywhere from 300 to 500 milligrams of Primo, you'll really good. Another thing is with TRT. Let's say your testosterone is naturally low. So you go on TRT to get your testosterone levels back to where they naturally should be in a relative sense. That will boost your immune system. So running a proper dose of testosterone will also boost your immune system. But if
Yes.
you run too much testosterone, now you're
Yes.
overstressing your
Yes.
body. So again, it's not black and white, but you have to
I
run. And
did
nice
actually
thing.
see someone the other day talking about TRT as an immune booster. And again, it was that dose dependent stuff, the correct TRT dose versus something excessive. And then as Steve's quite inferring, of course, when we talk anybody that's using 5 grams of steroids, 5,000 milligrams a week, is going to be suppressing their immune system. Because your body will be stressed just by the sheer volume of testosterone, etc., and other PEDs that you're using versus boosting your immune system and feeling great on 200 milligrams of TRT, for example, Steve. So abso-fucking-lutely, like Steve said. Same thing like Steve said again with regards to HGH. And I'm looking just as an example here, Steve, at the Primo 200, which is an enanthate version of Primo that Purifarma just to give Lydia a reference as well.
If you come on the forum, they're like, "Well, where do we get your Parapharma? Where do we get this? Where do we get that?" Come on the forum, and we will show you where to get Parapharma and from an approved source that won't steal your money, and we'll sell you the legit Parapharma because you want to make sure you get the right stuff. So, why do we trust Parapharma? Look, it's a trusted brand. They've been around for at least 13, 14 years. Mobster and I have been using them for years now. Look, the shipping is super fast. They have amazing customer service, and we trust them with our own health. We trust them because when we buy their Primo or when we buy their Paratrope ACH, when we buy whatever, we know we're getting proper steroids.
Just
Yeah,
bring me.
so it's very important. The nice thing about Parapharma, they have great orals and great injectables. So, Mobster, you want to talk about Turanabol? Why don't you talk about oral Turanabol?
Yeah, so in the pre-show, I said to Steve, when we run in certain steroids, Anavar is one of my favorite ones for strength training, Steve. And again, relatively low dose, as you know, it's included in that study, oxandrolone. So the idea of me using a relatively low dose oral for 4 to 8 weeks, in the case of Anavar, 50 milligrams a day, which again is less than that study, to boost my strength and making sure my recovery is on point, it occurs to me. And it also occurred to me when I was talking to Steve in the pre-show that using something like Parapharma's Turanabol 20 and or similar, and making sure that I look after my cardiovascular health, being able to re cardiovascular recover, Steve, my heart, my lungs. Breathe easier, being able to cope with stressful training, getting my daily steps, and I think Steve said at the beginning, to me makes sense. So, for example, in the kind of Turanabol, Steve, 20 to 30 milligrams a day, again, 4 to 8 weeks, as a means. For example, we've discussed it before with Tren. We said because we know that Tren has such an impact, and this is another reason why it stresses your body. That's a huge impact on your cardiovascular ability. If you was out as Steve does, running 5K, and then you go on a Tren cycle to get stronger, still try to run 5K, it's going to just be that much more physically harder to do. Taranabol is one of the drugs that we recommend as a means of keeping as much of your cardiovascular ability as possible. Again, 20 to 30 milligrams, 4 to 8 weeks. So I would run, if I was doing trend, Steve, I'm going to try to run it a relatively short period of time. But let's imagine that I decided to run trend for 8 weeks at the dosages that Steve was talking about. As I get into the training, and especially as I get into the harder part towards the end of my cycle, when I'm at my strongest, my most muscular, et cetera, I would definitely look for 4 weeks in that example, Steve, of running Taranabol. I would probably argue also that, again, it's one of those orals that's relatively mild. Anything else like Dynabol, I wouldn't on that example, just because I'm adding water weight as well as muscular weight. Superdrol as an oral, I would avoid. Again, Parapharma does these things, but it's awareness of the impact that we're discussing here today. As an example, again, Steve, I use on a regular basis Cialis, and again, I'm looking at Parapharma does a Cialis 20 milligrams just for my blood pressure health. So I want to have aspects of any cycle that I'm doing, Proviron at 25 milligrams a day, Steve, on cycle, again, Parapharma. Why? Because I'm looking to boost my cycle without having to take larger dosages. I'm using half a Cialis daily, and again, Cialis 20 milligrams here for Parapharma for my blood pressure health. So what I'm trying to do is be as try to maintain my cardiovascular ability, healthy blood pressure. I've taken a daily aspirin, so relatively thin blood, so that I don't have issues with blood clotting while I'm training that much harder in the gym, and especially as I am currently while I'm on cycle and I'm pushing the envelope in terms of my recovery. As I said earlier in the show, listeners, absolutely was feeling the beginnings of the effect of absolute smashing in the gym. My own experience with Parapharma, Steve, has met regular listeners will know. Is contact, and I've talked about their rip fast or rip cut stack 150 specifically. Test prop, trinacetate, and drostanolone propionate. 150 milligrams. I run this for 4 weeks, and I was using 150 milligrams 3 times a week. So that's 150 milligrams of each of the testosterones and the steroids that are in the products. Got absolutely amazing results. Did feel the effects, it had to be said, of the trend. But made sure that I was outside getting the daily steps to negate the cardiovascular impact it was going to have on my body. I think the key thing here with regards to Parapharma and the reasons why we talk about companies like Parapharma is that we, just as an example, Steve, I think you use the words clean. The risk of infection from dirty steroids, Steve, back in the day was fucking ridiculous. You and I did a show not that long ago, and I said I referred to 20 something years ago. When we started this, we saw a lot of pictures of people with abscesses or swellings or infections from using dirty steroids underground labs. And in the last 20, maybe even 30 years, we have the number and frequency of those kind of abscesses infections. I would argue, Steve, there's more people training than ever before. There's more people using steroids than ever before. You've got greater access to steroids than you've ever had. And yet companies like Parapharma's products is that much cleaner, less post-injection pain issues, less abscesses, less swellings, way less infections, because companies like Parapharma are producing a much better product. All of the good companies, approved sources that we refer to, have had to up their fucking game. They cannot compete in a competitive market with companies like Parapharma if their products are poor, if their products are unsterile. Just as an example, listeners, and you never see this with Parapharma. Have we or have we not, Steve, seen companies where there was stuff floating in the vial? And I think the worst example, there was an insect wing
Yeah,
floating in the
no,
fucking
no
oil.
excuse. And
No
there's
excuse
no
anymore.
fucking excuse today for any of you to be buying that type of gear when you have access to Parapharma and you have access to evolutionary.org where you can come on and find out where to get it. So zero excuse for that. I hate hearing that shit because it's like we see guys all the time on the forum. They're like, oh, I use this source, I use this source, I got scammed, I got ripped off, I got an infection, whatever. Why? Why are you using these stores? Oh, my buddy at the gym recommended it. Why are you listening to your fucking idiot buddy at the gym? Your idiot friend doesn't know jack shit about this. All right? Don't listen to the wrong people on this stuff. All right? You want good quality gear, it's there, right there in black and white. And Parapharma gear
Absolutely.
has been sent. I want you to talk about that, how
Yeah,
anonymously it's been
let me
sent off.
finish on this one then. As Steve says, I know what he's telling me, and I've said this many times. I'll tell the story again. So it used to be a thing. group of guys would get together and sometimes put money in a pot, so to speak, Steve, and take products and go and get them tested. Now, lots of in-house testing gets done. Parapharma products get tested. You can find lab tests on their site. You can find lab tests on the companies that resell their products. So the story is thus: a couple of years ago, one of the members of the Evolutionary decided, out of their own goddamn pockets, Steve, as you know, to take samples of, he had different sources that we approve on the forums, and he got a product from every single source, every single one of the main sources, including Parapharma. And this is out of his own pocket business. And he took every single one of these products, different steroid from a different source, and all the products were sent off to an independent lab, not one that perhaps been used by the companies themselves, but completely different. Own pocket, as unbiased as he could possibly get. And he actually said, I thought seven, maybe eight of the products would pass. I thought at least two would be underdosed or not sterile or whatever. This is the key to, what are the chances? What are the odds? These are the odds that he thought they would come out. Every single one of our approved sources was within, I think, 3% was the worst. Most of them were on point or even slightly overdosed. They were all within the parameter that's allowed by a pharmaceutical industry, which I believe is 5 to 10%. I think it's as far as 10%, Steve, meaning an over-the-counter product could be 10, if it's 100 milligrams, it could be 10 milligrams under or 10 milligrams over. All of the approved sources were within 3%. Most were on point or overdosed, so even better. None of them were unsterile. Every single one of the companies, including Parapharma, passed the fucking test. And this was out of his own pocket. No company paid for him to do this stuff. No source paid for him to do it. No one gave him a credit. No, he literally did this off his own back. It's absolutely amazing that he done it. I think it's fantastic that he quote unquote tested the approved sources, including Parapharma, meaning I wanted someone to fail. I thought people were going to fail, and no one failed. I think I've used a phrase just to finish here, Steve, that you've never read it so good. When it comes to good sources like Parapharma with solid products, great reputations, sterile products that's not causing issues. And again, I've seen the horror stories from back in the day. We haven't seen stuff like that for years. And there are millions and millions more people training and way more people using PEDs than there's ever been. So keep that in mind. Keep also in mind, as we said, the stresses on your body, understanding how your immune system works, training your fucking asses off. You need to be more training. That top athletes are working on the recovery as much as they are in the gym. Good diets will help. Great vitamins will help. Come onto the forums for advice. If you are doing stuff on a regular basis and you seem to be getting infections a lot, come on and we'll see if we can break down what you're doing and help you identify where perhaps you're making small mistakes that you can improve on. And if nothing else, we can give you suggestions or even get you to change your source, especially if you're still getting your buddy at the gym to help you out. Please note, we are not doctors and the opinions are ours. It's our view based on our experience and views on the topic. A podcast for informational purposes and entertainment only, the freedom of speech and the First Amendment.